Hello, everypony. Once again, it's the holiday season. It's Christmas time. It's hearthwarming. It's a time to take things easy for a couple of days, to reconnect with friends and family. Many of you have just completed finals week and can now finally rest easy. Some of you may have been working extra hard this month to try and scrape together some extra money for Christmas. In any case, this is the time of year where our hard work pays off. We get to experience the joy of giving and receiving. And this year, I decided I would give to all of you a special show for the holidays. My little way of sharing some of the stories and music that I love about this season. My name is Forrest Rain, and this is my Christmas special for you.
This heartwarming, I wanted to say thank you to all the ponies who have given me a helping hoof and helped make me into the mare I am today. I wanted to thank Carrot Top for all the delicious veggies she brought me, as well as Applejack and the Apple Family for the grapes? Well, whatever they were good. Also, thank you Mr. and Mrs. Cake for making every birthday special and all the muffins they've given me. And thank you to Colgate for reminding me to brushy. Especially after all that delicious food. I would like to thank the Ponyville Grocery for helping me with my Nightmare Night costume last year, as well as Dr. Hooves for showing me the importance of all things timey-wimey. Also, thank you, Rainbow Dash, for letting me help decorate Town Hall. And thank you, Mayor Mare, for waiving the outstanding property damage fines. Thank you to Mosley Mover, who when I was out of a job was kind enough to let me work for him, even if I did mess up and cause that piano to fall down. And thank you to the Equestrian Postal Service for giving me a job, even if I don't have the greatest references. And firstly and finally, thank you, my beautiful daughter, Dinky. You're the greatest foal a mom could ever have. All of you have made my life so special, and I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart. Have a merry heartswarming, everypony.
As part of this special, I wanted to talk with some people within the fandom to see what they would be doing and where they'd be going over Christmas. I got my opportunity in the Philly Radio TeamSpeak. I'm here after one of the recordings of the PhillyCast in the Philly Radio IRC, and I'm here with Decibel, Midnight Rain, who is my good friend Sal, and Tech Disc, who is my good friend
Hello.
Tech Disc. And, and Desi's also my good friend. And Ultima's here as well. And Ultima is also
friends.
My good friend Ultima.
We're all good
left out
friends.
For a second.
We're all good friends.
Yeah. All right, so we're all good friends here. It's just after one of the recordings for the PhillyCast, and we're getting pretty close to Christmas. So as part of this Christmas special, I just wanted to ask everybody, what kind of stuff are you guys planning for the holidays? What is the thing that you're looking forward to the most?
Oh, great. Now I have to think about that. I'm going to see the Winter Classic in Detroit. So
nothing besides family things.
For my Christmas... I'm
and my birthday is the day after Christmas, so that's something.
And mine's the day before.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, that's interesting.
Mine's the 21st.
Serendipity here. Wow.
Mine's like a couple days before, so.
Okay, so Tectus, tell me about the Winter Classic.
It's a hockey game that's happening outside in Detroit between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Detroit Red Wings, and usually hockey games don't happen outside, and this is taking place in a big football field, so it's going to be pretty cool. Yeah.
Have you ever been to one before?
Not to a Winter Classic. I've been to a hockey game, but I've never been to, like, an outdoor hockey game ever. So, well, ever. Like, a professional hockey game outside.
Yeah, and there's only one that happens per year. Like, the Winter Classic is the right. only one that actually happens every year, right?
I've also never been to Detroit. Yeah, and that's the only one that ever happens.
Good luck with that.
Every year.
Especially with people from Detroit mixed with people from Toronto. Two opposing teams. I don't know if that's going to work out so great.
Fine.
But it'll be lots of fun, I think. When is it?
On or around New Year's Day. So.
Oh, okay. So it's after Christmas. So you're doing Christmas stuff beforehand.
Yeah, and my birthday, because everybody in my family comes to my house for my birthday, so that's fun.
Like all your extended family and stuff?
Well, my close family, like my grandparents, my cousins and stuff. Not my huge extended family, but my grandparents' cousins. Those people, my aunts and uncles, yeah.
Cool. And like for you, is that like an awesome thing, or is like having all the family together kind of awkward or anything like that?
It's awesome, to be honest. It's like, well, for one, I get presents from everybody, so that's always good. But it's like we all get together every year, and it's a yearly thing, and it's pretty fun.
Cool. And Decibel, you said that you had your birthday before Christmas, correct?
Yep, on the 23rd.
On the 23rd. So do you have, like, something similar? Does everybody get together at your house or anything?
We try to, but my brother and my sister have conflicting schedules, so it almost never happens. But that's all right.
Okay.
I was just going to say, we don't really do anything. We'd, like, just go out to dinner, and that's about it.
So it's a pretty chill atmosphere during Christmas, then.
Yeah, we're all pretty lax.
and you're from Iowa, right?
Yes.
Right, and Tech Disc?
Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Ah, okay, so you're right close to me. But yeah, no, I was just interested in, how people from different areas kind of celebrate Christmas, or if there's anything special that that people do. And I know, like, in Ontario, and especially around Toronto, hockey is a really big thing. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because it's almost a stereotype that, you know, oh, Canadians and their hockey.
I don't usually like hockey too much because I don't like watching it on TV. But when I go to a game, I'm all for it.
And Desi, anything that's interesting about where you live, like anything that happens around there during Christmas time?
I'm not sure. Well, there's one thing that's kind of cool. It's a little tradition this one house has in town, where it's a decently sized house, and it's head to toe covered in various lights and Santa Claus. It's like not just your typical decoration, like it's everywhere, and they even have like a big open window that's got more stuff sitting out, and it's just kind of a big deal. It sounds so stupid, but you have to see it
to appreciate it.
Yeah, well, they use so much electricity. They have like a custom deal with their electricity
electrical
guys.
Company, yeah.
Yeah, that they actually pay for it like all year round. They pay more in the summer so that they can don't have to pay way too much in the winter, and it's just kind of neat, and you can like donate to it and whatever. But that's kind of a cute little thing. But we don't have anything really massive that I know of. Yeah, it's just kind of a cool thing to drive over and check out. You can get out and kind of look around and see all the cool shit they've got, but it's kind
of
neat.
Do they do any of the like lights synced with music or anything like that?
Not quite like the ones where they have like
the
flashing lights that they have music playing, but it's not as synced up like that, but
okay.
That's the only thing I can really think of.
Okay, cool. And Ultima has been very quiet.
I've been listening. And I want to say a lot of stuff with Decibel said is very similar. I'm from Ohio area, but I visit Baltimore a lot. I have a lot of family there. So In Baltimore, we have one of those houses that has the enormous yard and the enormous light show. And usually when I'm over there, I'll try to visit that yearly. They change the display every year. But in Cleveland area, if anyone knows the classic Christmas Story, that movie was shot in the area. And so they have the original house on display as a museum. So you can go inside and, you know, visit all the places of the house. But then they also have like all the props. And what's really cool is that around this time of year, a lot of the original actors from the movie will be there and share their experiences. So that's another like tradition that I usually try to visit every year.
That's really cool.
Of course, there's family stuff. You know, we usually, for the longest time, would go over like an aunt or an uncle's house and have a big dinner. But more recently, we started going out just because a lot of our relatives have moved away or gotten older and don't want to take on the responsibility anymore.
So you instead go out for dinner someplace with family and all that?
Yeah. So there's like last year we went to this place called like Beach Club Grill, and they also have like, there's a lot of places that like are traditional family places because we've lived in the area for many years. So there's like also this place called the Log Cabin, and literally it's a log cabin. You sit down restaurant. You know, it's like we have our own traditions outside of like being at family houses, I guess. You know.
And for you I love asking this of everybody because everybody has a different opinion, but for you is getting together with family awkward at all?
I would say, you know, I appreciate seeing all the family members, but personally, like, I don't know. The thing is that my family is a lot older and there's not a lot of like people my age in my family. I would say like the youngest people in my family are like in their 30s. So someone my age, it's just awkward to relate to a lot of them. But you know, I it's just nice to be there and see everyone and talk with them. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm not like as selfish that, you know, I just want to leave, you know, but it's just part of something of the year, you know, and it's not that I dislike talking to them. It's just sometimes, you know, it can be difficult to relate.
Yeah, for sure. I can relate to that. Because my family was always a lot older too. And anytime that we had, you know, family dinners or whatever, I had, you know, just like my cousin and aunt and uncle that were nearby. But my cousin was, you know, 5 or 7 years older than me. And then if my sister was around, my sister was 13 years older than me. So there was nobody I could really relate to anytime that we had a get together.
Well, yeah, I definitely relate to that. But with your cousin topic, I have a cousin who's lives around the area and is pretty much the exact same age. And so it's always nice when she's there because it's nice to someone I can just jokes with and everything like that. So I can relate to, you know, having a good friend and a cousin because I have much of the same experience.
And Midnight, what kind of Christmas traditions do you have, or do you have anything set up for the holidays this year?
Not a specific set of traditions. Except for, you know, decorations, setting up a tree, dinner with the family. Actually, Christmas Eve, I'm going to be going to my friend's grave that he passed 2 years ago prior to, like, his 15th birthday, I think it was.
Sorry to
hear
that.
Something like that. And, I'm going to go there, lay some flowers, you know, pay my dues, pay my respects, then come home. Have Christmas Eve dinner with my grandmother, my older sister, who's now pregnant with her fiance, and you know it's gonna be nice. We see my sister and her fiance every week, every other week sometimes, depending on the job schedule. You know, my grandmother doesn't really come around too much, and you know, nearing her older age, she's like 75 now. You know, never really know so.
Yeah. Your friend, I'm sorry to hear about that. And I was just wondering, did he pass sometime near Christmas, or is it just the time of year where you're thinking about people and you wanted to pay your respects?
No. He didn't pass anywhere near Christmas. Actually, maybe 1 or 2 months after Christmas. Okay. And I'm actually always thinking about him. It's just just more strong this time of month. You know, back in November, I was thinking about it. It gets stronger as the months progress, closer to the actual month he passed. Yeah, that's that. And Christmas Day, I'm going to go up to New Jersey and visit my uncle and the rest of the Scarduzio family. And, you know, get to see the ones that I don't really see very often. November, you know, Thanksgiving, stuff like that. Easter, we don't really see each other. Just Christmas is that one time of year where we really all come together from, like, all over. Most of my family lives in New Jersey, and with a couple of, like, close relatives live in Philadelphia.
Are you planning to take a trip up to Jersey then to meet with everybody, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's
go up to Jersey.
And it's like most of the extended family and all that.
Yeah.
And you're Italian, right?
Yes.
So you probably have a very large, very loud family.
When there's alcohol involved.
Okay. Well, I figured I'd ask the question. It's a little bit of a biased question, but I do have, I have an Italian coworker who has the same kind of thing, and his folks are all really kind of boisterous. So, you must have good food too. That would be the other.
Yes. Quite good food. My uncle owns a restaurant. So, on another note, hilariously enough, a few of my family, or like aunts and uncles, are musicians. They were like in the music industry. They were music producers and stuff like that. So
I'm
kind of quite surprised when I started to pick up the guitar and the piano and stuff like that.
Well, I have to say that you've done quite well with that. I mean, like, you've only been playing guitar for a little over a year, right?
Yeah.
And the piano for, I think, 4 months?
Seven months?
Oh, wow. Longer than I thought. Okay. Yeah. But still.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly you've picked these things up. And obviously music is in your blood. And so when you guys all get together, do you wind up having sort of like a jam session with everybody?
Occasionally, yes.
What's that like? How does that play out?
It's really heartwarming. Like, you can't really know the feeling unless, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like something that words can't really explain.
A feeling of oneness, it's togetherness.
Really, it's just really happy, and it's like, I'll need that after Christmas Eve, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I have to say, I'm rather jealous of that you get to, have sort of a jam session and play along with your folks. In that, any of my Christmases have always been with immediate family, so just my mom and my dad for the most part. When I was younger, it used to be with my sister as well, but my sister is now on the other side of the country. And none of my folks are musically inclined. And even though my aunt and cousin are musically inclined, anytime that we ever got together, we never really had that kind of jam session or anything like that. We've never gotten together and played music or anything like that. So when it comes to stuff like that, I'm really quite jealous that you get to be able to do something like that. It's kind of been a dream for me to be able to, have a Christmas where I can sit down with everybody and we all just play along and sing and, that kind of thing.
Hey, never know. Maybe next year I'll have you come over.
Have a Christmas in Philly.
Yep.
I'm also kind of jealous that you have jam sessions, because I wish I could. But
I kind of do with my dad, but they're nothing as cool as impromptu shit.
Yeah, I have to agree. My dad does a lot of music, and I do some of it, but like nothing on the scale of what Sal was talking about.
Yeah.
We're all envious of you, Sal, I guess.
Very green.
Oh, man.
My talk with Tech Disc, Decibel, Ultima, and Midnight Rain showed me some very different ways we celebrate this time of year, and reminded me that it's also a time to remember our friends and family that have been lost. This is Pony One Kenobi featuring Turquoise Splash with a cover of Blink-182's Boxing Day.
saying so goodnight. There's nothing left to say.
No Christmas special would be complete without festive stories. I have two to present to you today, and this is the first one. This is The Story of St. Pinkalus by Alos. It was midnight on Hearthswarming Eve, and a small group of ponies were out camping under the stars. The leader of the group, Rainbow Dash, had gone out to get some more firewood, leaving Pinkie Pie to look after the group of three fillies, who were all restless.
I can't believe I thought this would be a good idea. It's freezing out here. So much for Hearthswarming Eve,
Scootaloo whined.
Yeah, how do you stay warm at times like this, Pinkie Pie?
Sweetie Belle asked.
All I need to do is remember my ancestor, St. Pinkalus. Just thinking about what she did makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. St. Pinkalus? Who the hey is that?
Applebloom interjected. At this, Pinkie's smile became a huge grin, and the light in her eyes shone more brightly than ever.
She's only the most awesome member of my family ever. She was the kindest, most generous pony you'll ever meet, and she's become a legend in her own lifetime.
The Crusaders sat, transfixed by the pink pony. Pinkie Pie was well known for being a great storyteller, and this one seemed like it would be a great way to pass the cold night. It all started long ago in a poor village. Peachy Pie wasn't very rich, but her peach farm made more money than anyone else in the village. And while the townspeople could have been jealous, they weren't. Peachy Pie was always helping others, and would gladly give away half her stock to the poor. Unfortunately, the town had a bad apple. A big bully of a mare called Stone Cold. He taxed the ponies for every bit they had, and drove out anyone who dared stand up to him with his cowardly collectors, a group of mean pegasi who would make it rain on a pony's house until they either paid up or moved away. But Peachy had a big heart. So big that she refused to hate anyone, even Stone Cold. And so it was for a long time that people loved Peachy and hated Stone Cold. Until one fateful winter. One day, Peachy was carefully preserving what little remained of her crop when she heard a knocking at her door. She was surprised to see that almost everyone in the town had shown up. They told her that Stone Cold had put a tax on smiling. Can you believe it? Smiling. Peachy knew immediately that Stone Cold had done it on purpose to upset her, because he hated how the townspeople loved her and not him, and because nobody in the village smiled half as much as Peachy. But Peachy was crafty. She told the townspeople to laugh instead, and soon the town was filled with the sound of laughter. When Stone Cold found out, he was enraged, but he knew he had to have the last laugh, so he plotted his next move. The next day, the townsponies came again to her door, and told her that Stone Cold had made another tax. A laughing tax. Paying to laugh. Can you even imagine? But anyway, Peachy told them to sing instead. And that day, she decided to pay a visit to Stone Cold's house. Before things got even worse.
Stone Cold, you've taken our smiles and our laughter. But you'll never take our happiness away. And you'll never feel any yourself, as long as you keep trying to put a price on everything.
Stone Cold was shocked at this. No pony had ever seen Peachy say a bad word about anyone before, and here she was, standing up for the whole town.
I see. All right, Peachy. From now on, I won't allow myself to put a price on anything.
Peachy laughed, not quite sure that he would listen, but pleased that she had finally told him what she thought of his greedy ways. The next day, Stone Cold held a meeting in the town square. Every pony assumed it would be to remove all those mean taxes. But he had something else in mind.
Friends, I have done a disservice to you all. My taxes were deeply unfair, so I've decided from now on, smiles and laughter will be free.
The townsponies erupted in cheering, but Stone Cold wasn't finished.
I've also decided that, from now on, no one may sell any goods in this town. I hereby decree that the act of asking money for goods and services is banned. Suddenly, all eyes turned to Peachy. She was stunned. For the first time ever, ponies were looking at her with anger in their eyes. What had she done? She walked home slowly, defeated. In trying to make things better, she had only made them so much worse. What would she do? Nobody would want her peaches now. And with no economy, every pony would have to move away. Stone Cold was so bitter that he'd sooner destroy his own town than let Peachy win. That night, she cried for the first time in her life. It was like the opposite of laughing to her, and she never wanted to do it again. Pinky saw the faces of the Crusaders and smiled weakly.
Wait, that's it? That's all she did? Applebloom said crossly. No way, silly. I just wanted to take a break, just as things start to get dramatic. And besides, Rainbow Dash will be back any minute. Let's make s'mores.
The Crusaders were even more restless now than before, and it was clear that they weren't going to sleep until they had heard the full tale.
Okay, so where was I? Anyway.
The next few days were awful for Peachy. She got nasty looks from every pony, and nobody, not one pony in the whole village, would talk to her. She had almost given up when a little filly walked up to her.
What's the matter, Peachy? I can't sell my stock anymore, and neither can any pony else. We've got taxes to pay, but no way to pay them. We're all gonna... Peachy, you still have your stock, though. Why don't you give it away?
It was then that Peachy had a wonderful idea. She would dress up in her pajamas and secretly give every pony in the village some of her food. She still had more than enough, and maybe it would cheer everyone up a little. That night, she went into action. Carefully sliding down the chimney, she snuck into everyone's houses and left them a jar of peach jam. She even left Stone Cold a jar. The following morning, the town was in an uproar. News spread fast of a mysterious character leaving ponies jars of peach preserve, and though every pony had guessed who it was already, they kept their suspicions quiet so Stone Cold wouldn't catch on. Outraged, Stone Cold would stand in the center of the village, night after night, waiting to catch this pony out. But Peachy was too sly to ever be seen. A month later, Peachy no longer had enough food for herself and every pony else, and was starting to look thin. She had only enough jam left for one more night, but she knew she had to give it to the town's ponies she loved so much. She had become a beacon of hope for them, after all. That was a particularly bitter night, and as she walked home, the cold air and her hunger finally caught up with her. She gently lay her head in the snow and drifted off. As for Stone Cold, he was wandering the village, half crazy and half frozen himself, still desperate to find out whoever was responsible for ruining his plans. When he saw Peachy in the snow, however, his heart ached with something he had never felt before. Carrying her body to the center of the village, he stayed with her till the morning, and when the villagers saw her lying there, the whole world seemed to turn silent. Peachy, I am so sorry. You are a better friend to everyone here than I ever was. Stone Cold turned to the villagers and saw their sad faces. Realizing at last all the pain he had caused, he tearfully wandered into the Everfree Forest and was never seen or heard from again. As for Peachy, once Celestia had learned of her kindness, she decreed that she become known as Saint Pinkless, as kind and generous a soul as you'll ever meet.
That's so sad, Applebloom cried. Yeah, I thought it was going to have a happy ending. What gives, Pinkie Pie? Scootaloo said. Well, even though she died, her spirit of giving lived on in all the lives she had touched, and her generosity helped save the village. She even made Stone Cold a little less, well, cold. So, don't you see, girls? It is a happy ending.
The Crusaders were still sniffling as the dawn's first gentle rays of light shone down upon them. Suddenly, Rainbow Dash appeared, carrying a huge number of sticks and twigs.
Oh, hey, Pinky. I guess I got a bit carried away trying to find some firewood. Oh, well, at least we'll have plenty for next time. Yeah, I guess we will.
Pinky smiled.
I just wanted to say, if you ever felt useless or unwanted, take a moment to remember every twinkle you've wished on, every dream you've dreamed. No matter what you may feel you're lacking, you have everything you need to find your place in this world, and you have the power to make someone else's wishes come true. I found my purpose in life, even when everyone was telling me I wasn't needed or wanted. And you will too. Think of the new snow as a fresh start. And any friends you've lost, or dreams that have faded, don't ever forget them.
So at this point in the show, I wanted to bring on a very good friend of mine, somebody that I met back when I was doing the Massive Smile project, and I sent out a call for people who wanted to be soloists, and this guy sent me an audio file of himself singing and basically wailing to the Massive Smile project song, or the Pinky Smile song, and, you know, had the confidence to say, "I can be a soloist, let me do whatever I want on this track." And, basically, he did. And, it was awesome. And some people didn't like it at the time, but screw them, it was great.
And ever since that point, we've become best friends and definitely best fandom buddies. And so at this point, I wanted to bring on to the show Cyril the Wolf. Hello.
Oh, hello.
How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Yeah. It's Christmas time. There's snow and stuff.
Yeah, you know what's really funny?
What?
You wouldn't know this because you're Canadian, but it got to 45 today.
Yeah.
It's going to be getting to 66 tomorrow and it's going to rain. So no, snow and stuff.
That's actually what it was doing here today. It was it was raining and then it turned to freezing rain and it's supposed to be just kind of crappy for the next.
See, it doesn't turn into freezing rain over here though because it doesn't get that cold.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to see how a famous musician within the fandom, somebody who is very busy doing fandom stuff and playing at venues all over the place and, you know, being a rock star out in the world playing, you know, famous rock star that's out there playing Woodstock and, you know, amazing bassist for the Way Down Whalers. What do you do for Christmas time?
Well, I don't really have a tradition. I mean, other than going to dinner with the family, which is what I did for when I was living with them. But now we're down in Allentown here, and we're just going to chill out. I mean, French toast on Christmas morning is about the only thing. Usually eggnog French toast, but the lady can't stand eggnog. So that's what we do. Open presents. And I try to get in the spirit by listening to some Christmas tunes. The past couple of years, I've been woefully neglecting that. I feel really bad because I do like the holiday season for a lot of things, but I'm not a Scrooge, but I also can't take myself away from my work enough to enjoy it. Not bah humbug, but just I'm too busy working and it's difficult for me to conceive of it most of the time. Although I will be watching, The Sound of Music and It's a Wonderful Life, on Christmas.
And that's sort of like a tradition for you to watch those?
Well, It's a Wonderful Life definitely used to be a Christmas story, but that movie doesn't do it for me. I always used to watch The Christmas Carol a lot. More specifically The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a rad rendition of it. I mean, it's very obviously childlike and it's not nearly as horrifying as the, if you go read the original play, it's dark. It's gothic. It's just, wah. But I mean, the Muppets did a really good job. It had some songs, you know, it was quite the rendition and it really imprinted on me as a child, especially music and all that sort of thing. So, I enjoy that. It's a Wonderful Life always makes me remember that I'm not worthless, even when I might feel it, or even if I feel like I've messed up or something like that. So it's a very nice. It is good for renewing this time of year because the thing about this time of year I find, especially as I get older, is that there's a lot of pressure on everybody from all sides, whether it be family. Maybe your family's not like that, but sometimes it's family, the media. Everything is basically pressuring you to do this perfect holiday thing or be perfect or get all these gifts. And, you know, for a guy like me, and I mean, I might be a rock star or something, but I guess I'm rich with that more than I am with what, you know, you'd think a rock star would be. I'm not living on some, big, nice house anywhere. No. I'm living in an apartment with my fiance and, she's got a regular job and I've got a semi decent day job. And, you know, I really am leading two lives in a way. So it doesn't really leave a lot for me to, treat myself, much less other people, in the form of gift giving. So, and you know, most people understand that, but because of the pressures surrounding this holiday season, it's mostly because everybody's got to make money. But you know, there's this huge traditional pressure that actually built up because of, you know, things like Miracle on 34th Street, not because of that movie, but because of what gave rise to that. And it was still about commercialism, consumerism. So that all tends to pressure people into wanting to spend money for people. That's what causes, you know, Hallmark, whatever.
Yeah. And that that is a big thing for people too, is the pressure to make Christmas perfect or to find the perfect gift and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And that's why I like It's a Wonderful Life. It's a very good reminder of you can be rich like myself. You know, you
A rich might not life. Have been. Yeah.
Yeah. He literally tried. And I really think I'm leading a rich life. But yeah, so that's how the holidays typically go for me.
For you, what do you think the greater meaning behind Christmas is? What is the bigger picture? What is the thing that people should take away from this time of year?
Family is always what's played up in the media and stuff. But that's not always feasible for everybody. But it's really time to take a moment for yourself. Because what's nice about it is, even though it's not like you, let's say you work Monday through Friday and you get your weekends. Mm-hmm. And not everybody gets Christmas off. I mean, I actually worked a job where I had Christmas and I worked Christmas. Actually, that was just last year. That's actually, I was forgetting about that.
That's how much has changed in a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I work at a different place. So, but yeah, I worked Christmas last year, and yeah, you get time and a half. But that's like one of the few days that is like by law required. You get a time and a half on this day. Dang it. because it's Christmas, you know, other places are just not open. But in this case, it was this customer support for a retail place. And so they're like, yes, it's required. Mm-hmm. I mean, got maybe 5 calls that day. But at the same time, it was a break, you know, it was a break that I, you know, needed, because it wasn't one of the normal days that I got off. You know, it wasn't part of the cycle. It broke the cycle. Mm-hmm. It gives you one day to kind of lead up to and then focus outside of yourself a little bit, but also inward for yourself, because when you start to open up and, you know, look outside of yourself, it also makes you reflect back in. I mean, a lot of people forget that, like, you need to do that. And that's not even just because of consumerism and stuff, you know, it's just because of how,
life.
Yeah. Like life is messy, man. And it's always going to be messy. And so Christmas gives you a time to sort of celebrate your own mess in a way, or maybe even clean up your mess. I mean, the house, I might actually pick up that, pick up the apartment a little bit.
All right.
You know? So whatever, you know, whatever you need to do. So it's.
Once again, words of wisdom from Cyril the Wolf.
I hate being one of those guys who says things. It's like, this is what you need to do. And I'm like the worst at it. But it, you know, it, unfortunately, I mean, I recognize what I need to do. It's just I'm bad at it.
Yeah. All right. So, and then just in the little bit of time that we have left before your fiance steals you away forever, I wanted to see if you wanted to play us a song.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and this honestly, I mean, Christianity or not, I mean, this song always liked me because I always liked the song because it's the tidings of comfort and joy. I mean, the song's God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
It's actually my favorite carol as well.
It's a really nice carol. It's a really nice classical carol. And I mean, I like other carols for their sound, but this one, I mean, I really like the genuine. I mean, this is a carol. This isn't just a song. This isn't like Sleigh Ride, you know, this is a carol, an old time Christmas carol. And it's really about, you know, giving up yourself, you know, in the Christianity thing, you give up yourself to Jesus. And so you can be take joy in the fact that you've just following that is enough. And so I really take stock in that in a little bit more of a general sense, and where if you give yourself up for a couple of days, even, you'll get some comfort and joy out of it. You know, because it's really easy to be a tight little ball and stuff. So let me just try to do this, and it's going to be terrible because I'm going to do this live, you know, like Bill O'Reilly. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us from all Satan's power when we were gone astray. A tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And Bethlehem and Israel, babe was born and laid on a manger upon this blessed morn.
So Mother Mary did nothing to take scorn of tidings and comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Yeah, something like that. That's, I mean, it repeats.
Yeah. Thank you. So that was a song called Boxing Day. It was a cover of a Reliant K song by Pony One Kenobi featuring Turquoise Splash. And joining me now, I do have P1K here with me. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
How's things going over there?
Things are going pretty good.
Any kind of Christmas preparations or anything like that?
Not really. School's been running really late, but I just finally finished up, so now I can finally focus, get some last-minute Christmas shopping done, so we can have a nice holiday week.
You're still at home while going to school, right?
Yes.
Ah, so there's no like clearing out of the dorm rooms or like any of that kind of stuff going on?
Nope, none of that.
Yeah. Obviously, Christmas does have quite a bit of meaning to you, and since... I mean, like, a lot of us celebrate Christmas, but not all of us are particularly religious. Like, I celebrate Christmas, but I wouldn't say that I'm Christian or anything like that, which is kind of sort of a weird thing. But you are Christian, correct?
Yeah.
You do attend all the church services and all that kind of thing. Do you think that makes Christmas any more or less special if somebody is, you know, religious or not?
Well, yeah, it should. It's a celebration of a really spectacular event. But it's all about how Jesus was born into a human form. He took on human flesh. He made himself less so that he could be with us, live amongst us, and live the perfect life that we couldn't. Hmm. So that all had to start somewhere, and it started on Christmas Eve.
And do you think that the specialness of Christmas for you, is that something that played into creating your album this year?
Yeah. Specialness of Christmas, but specialness of Christmas music. I've always just loved the season. Whenever I hear the radio start to play it, I just get totally stoked. Especially the reason I wanted to put together the album is that I got the bug really early this year. Like, at Halloween, I was like, I want to hear Christmas music. So I was like, I've got a month. Let's see if I can pump out some Christmas songs and some covers before we actually hit Christmas music season. And then this is what came of it.
Yeah, and it's quite a decent album, too. It has, what is it, six tracks?
Six tracks and one track from... Aviators, Christmas EP from last year. We did a collab of Reliant K's In Like a Lion.
Mm. Yeah, and there's a lot of collaborations on the album as well. Did you want to talk sort of about you know, what people you decided to bring on to help you with it?
Yeah, definitely. Trying to put out six tracks in a month was definitely a feat because of work and school and everything. So I tried to pull in all the help that I could get to try and get this done as fast as possible and done with the best quality as I could. We got Turquoise Splash on acoustic guitar on a few tracks because he's just a fantastic acoustic guitarist. He's always my go-to. He's almost always available. But, yeah.
And he's very fantastic at what he does.
Yes, he's very great at what he does.
listening to this album, the first time I listened to it, I was surprised at what a variety of tracks there were on it.
Yeah, I really wanted to spread out how things sounded. I wanted a few rock tracks, but then I also wanted to really calm things down. So with a couple acoustic tracks and like the Blink covers, kind of a mix between acoustic and full band. They've all got a completely different sound. And well, in like a Lion has almost like an Owl City sort of sound.
Mm-hmm.
The second track on the album is one of my favorites, but I've wanted to do for an eternity as long as I've known of the song.
And this is referring to what can you get a Wookiee for Christmas?
When he already owns a comb. It's a classic kind of, I guess. So like way back in 1980, shortly after the first Star Wars film, they released this album just called Christmas in the Stars. It had Anthony Daniels as 3C3PO, and it was all about all these droids who were working for Santa, making presents, and they sing all these songs. But it's cheesy as heck. But it's like 10 times better than the holiday special, but the holiday special is god-awful, so that's not saying much. But I call myself Pony One Kenobi for a reason. So I wanted to really do this song now that I actually had some production skills. Like, I can do this and I can make it rock. And so I did. It's been one of my favorite songs during the Christmas season. And so I really wanted to do that cover, and I was really proud of how it came out.
My most favorite song from this album is the opening song, Winter Nights. Did you want to talk about that at all?
Sure. I really wanted to have an original on the album. I didn't want it to all just be covers. Like, I really was in the Christmas spirit. I really wanted to write something cool and just based around the holiday season. I had the hook, like, the first week of November, which is always how things work out. You always think of a hook and you're like, oh, great, this sounds cool. Where's the rest of the song?
What was your hook for the Winter Nights, by the way? Just to make it completely clear.
The way the chorus went, fire.
Yeah,
with the three-part harmonies.
Fire's glowing. Yep.
When winter's blowing.
Yep.
Like, I knew I wanted to do that from the very beginning.
That's the thing that sold the song to me. It's what makes me super happy every time I listen to it. And just talking about it, I'm like giddy.
And then I came up with the pre-chorus. What kind of has like another hook. Like, oh dang, I have two hooks. How do I work this out? So, but actually, it fit really well as a pre-chorus, as I was working with the rest of the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So I popped it in there using the Robert Frost line, "I've got promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep," from Robert Frost's "Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening."
Hmm.
It's a classic holiday poem. It was a really personal song. Really came from a really special place where I am right now. I just wanted to express it through song and be able to work it out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one thing about music. It's like, you can always write about some made up love story, but when it comes from the heart, comes from
real life experience, yeah,
things really mean more, and things can really, it can really touch an audience more.
All right. Thank you very much for graciously coming on and talking about your Christmas experiences and your album with us.
No problem.
And giving me the opportunity to play your songs throughout this entire thing, since you're one of the only Brony artists to release a holiday album this year or any year. So thanks.
All right.
These winter nights are cold and dark. If you've been playing with my heart. And I've got promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. We'll be right back.
Christmas lights. I hear the bells are ringing, but I can't make out the tune, 'cause my head is filled with melodies and songs of me and you. These winter nights are cold and dark, but you've been playing with my heart, and I've got promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. Fires glow where wind is blowing. This December I've been so alone. I'm longing for some girl to hold. Winter snow and mistletoe. Seems that every evening my heart just wants to wake. This feeling just keeps growing, and it's so hard to keep things straight. Though miles may separate us, I can't doubt that I'm in love, 'cause every hour, every day, you know it's you I'm thinking of. I wish that I could hold you close, but you're haunted by another's ghost, and all I have to make you see are clumsy words and melodies. These winter nights are cold and dark, 'cause you've been playing with my heart, and I've got promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. Fires glow.
And now for the second of two stories that I promised you. This is Rainbow's Gift by Artemy.
You what?
Rainbow Dash nearly shrieked, glaring at the two newest members of her weather team, who were hovering in the air directly in front of her, their heads held down in shame.
We thought we were helping,
one of them finally said, trying to bring his gaze up to meet his captain.
We just saw a huge buildup of clouds and got rid of it. That's all. That's all, Dash repeated, her voice glacially calm before the inevitable explosion. That's all? I had those clouds specially made for tomorrow. They're the absolute best snow clouds that Cloudsdale could make. I was storing them over here and out of the way until midnight, until two certain rookies decided, without talking to me, to take matters into their own hooves. We're sorry, Captain Dash, the other said, keeping his head hung low. We'll head to Cloudsdale right away and... No! The pair recoiled at the vicious snap, fluttering back and away from their usually calm and cool captain. Okay, geez, I'm sorry I snapped. Look, I get you want to fix it, but to put it bluntly, you're just not fast enough. By the time you get there, have them remake the clouds and get back, it'll be too late. Even if I do it, it might be too late. Where's Twilight when you need her?
As if on cue, the voice she wanted to hear appeared behind her.
Is everything okay, Rainbow Dash? Yeah, sure, no problem. I got it all under control.
Rainbow Dash waved a dismissive hoof at Twilight for added emphasis, while keeping her eyes on her rookies.
You two go away now. You're not let go or anything. You just get today and tomorrow off, got it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Captain Dash. Good. Now scram!
With the two of them gone, she turned to face Twilight, jumping in place just a bit as she saw her friend. Clearly, she was still not used to seeing Twilight in the air yet. She took a deep breath, cringing internally as she figured out just how to put it. She could just fake it, of course, pretend like everything was still fine, send Twilight on her merry way, and then fix the mess those two had accidentally caused. But there was just no way she could do it in time. After a minute of her thoughts racing in a whirlwind, she gulped, as if visibly swallowing her pride.
No, Twi, everything is totally not okay. I had this huge super awesome weather pattern planned for tonight, and those two bird brains kicked away all my clouds that I had put here. Can't you just make more? Twilight asked, cocking her head with a frown and her usual I don't see the problem expression. I've seen you whip up clouds in no time. I could, sure, but even I admit they wouldn't be as good as the Cloudsdale ones.
Rainbow Dash rubbed at her temples, snorting out her exasperation.
I won't let Ponyville settle for just any old snowfall, which means I have to haul tail to Cloudsdale. That wouldn't be a problem, but... But Cloudsdale is at its apogee from Ponyville. Yeah, sure, that.
Dash hadn't heard that particular word before, but she picked up on the gist of it easily enough.
I might need your help here, Twi. Of course. Well, by the time I get there and have them make all the clouds, it'll be night, and I won't be able to pull them all by myself in time to start the snowfall. So I was wondering, can I use your teleport magic?
Twilight blinked.
That's all? Why didn't you just ask in the first place? I'd be glad to help. When do you need me?
Dash tapped on her chin, trying to do the figures in her head.
Let's make it about 11. 11?
Twilight gave the Pegasus a look of complete disbelief.
It'll take 14 hours to make them? No.
Dash assured her, waving her hoofs for added emphasis.
It'll only take a couple hours, but there are still clouds being made for other towns, probably even for Canterlot itself. My order is going to come dead last. Can't you just have them bump you up the list?
Spike asked, finally getting a chance to add his own thoughts into the conversation.
I mean, you are Rainbow Dash, element of loyalty and close friend of Princess Twilight Sparkle. They'd have to listen to you. Spike, that'd be a very rude thing to do, Twilight said pointedly. Wouldn't work anyways,
Dash added.
Cloudsdale is on a strict timeline. I'll just have to wait it out. Anyways, thanks for the help, Twi. See you tonight.
And with that, Rainbow Dash bolted off into the sky and straight for Cloudsdale. During the first hour of her flight, Rainbow Dash vented into an empty gray sky, sometimes grumbling under her breath, and at other times yelling her blue head off about the two newbies and their potentially disastrous mistake. On the second hour, she simply sped through the air, letting her mind wander away while the rushing winds split her rainbow mane down the center. On occasion, she'd break the monotony of the trip by performing some random aerial stunt, though she held herself from going for the sonic rainboom itself. She was in no particular mood to sustain or even attempt it. By the time she managed to get to Cloudsdale around the third hour, Rainbow Dash was ready to spit fire.
Ah, finally,
she mumbled to herself, relieved to finally let her wings rest. She could see the stack of the Cloudsdale weather factory, from which their special hearth-warming snow clouds seemed to be churned out at an insanely high rate. Despite how close it looked, however, it still took Rainbow Dash the better part of a half an hour just to reach the factory proper. Thankfully, the reception office seemed to be clear, with each respective town's weather captains roaming around Cloudsdale, just killing time. As for herself, Rainbow Dash knew exactly how she was going to spend her own time when she was done here. The receptionist looked up as Rainbow Dash walked into the small office space, an eyebrow raised in curiosity.
"May I help you, Ms. Dash?"
she asked, her tone a mix of professional and wonder.
"Was there anything wrong with Ponyville's particular order?"
"Well, actually..." "Come on, Dashy, don't back out now. You see, that is to say..."
"Oh, I see."
The mayor behind the desk giggled with amusement.
"Let me guess, they were all kicked away?"
"Well, yeah. How did you know I was here for that?"
"Oh, please. I see it every year. There's always two or three captains who come back because their supply of our special snow clouds mysteriously vanished. Mostly because of the young bucks and miscommunication.
Ponyville, right?"
"Huh? Yeah."
Rainbow Dash shook her head, hardly believing the whole thing. She could see herself as the laughing stock of the weather captains, losing an entire shipment of clouds from a pair of young go-getters. But for it to be a relatively common occurrence throughout Equestria, it felt like a huge weight was lifted off of her back.
"Request filed and processed."
The receptionist shot Rainbow Dash a cheery smile.
"Of course, yours will be the very last ticket, so get comfy up here, unless you plan to fly back home."
"Nah, I'll be staying in town,"
Dash said, turning and heading for the door.
"Oh, and I won't need a hauling net this time."
"No hauling net?"
The mayor blinked. In all the years she's had to resubmit orders, she'd never heard of that one before.
"But Ponyville's one hay of a trip. How else are you planning to move that many clouds at once?"
Rainbow Dash waved a hoof at the mayor.
"Don't sweat it. I got that covered," she said, and left.
Rainbow Dash slinked out of the office, dragging her feet across the fluffy ground. Now that she had gotten the hard part completely out of the way, she let her body finally slump with the weariness that it felt. This whole week had wreaked havoc on her body, and more importantly, her delicate napping schedule, which she tried so hard to maintain every day. Now, however, she had a whole day with nothing to do, which meant only one thing. It was nap time. She headed to the nearest hotel, excited at the prospect of a nice warm bed. A soft pop echoed in the room, accompanied by a quick flash of purple light.
"Psst, Rainbow Dash,"
Twilight Sparkle said, reaching over the bed and nudging a snoring lump on the bed.
"Rainbow Dash, wake up."
"Huh? What's that?"
The mass flailed about as Rainbow Dash tried to untangle herself from the blanket. After a minute, her head popped out from under the covers.
"What are you doing here already, Twi? I said to come here at 11.
The last syllable stretched out into a yawn, with Dash stretching out her forelegs and wings.
"It is 11, Rainbow Dash."
Twilight let out an amused chuckle as the other woke up fully.
"Are the clouds ready yet?"
"Clouds?"
Dash blinked, a look of perplexion upon her face. And then, out of nowhere, it hit her.
"Oh my gosh! The Ponyville clouds! I totally forgot! Are they done yet?"
Twilight rolled her eyes and gave her head a small shake.
"I'm asking you that."
"Oh, right. Well, they'll be at the weather factory. Come on, let's go."
"Wow, think you can handle it, Twi?"
Rainbow Dash asked, looking at her friend with a worried frown adorning her face. Twilight had been so sure in herself this morning, but now the look on her face told a different story.
"Now that you mention it, I don't know,"
Twilight admitted, standing on the centermost cloud of their batch.
"I've never tried anything like this before. Teleporting myself or a couple of ponies near enough to me is easy. As long as they're touching me, they can travel with me. I've also just recently learned how to do it across vast distances. From Ponyville to here is the farthest I've ever gone with teleportation."
"So, basically, you can't do it,"
Rainbow Dash said, her tone one of defeat. She dropped her head and snorted out a sigh.
"I didn't say that,"
Twilight protested, setting herself firmly on the cloud and closing her eyes.
"I said I don't know if I can do it. I'll still just have to give it a shot."
A warm pulsing sensation slid up her horn as she concentrated, imagining herself, Rainbow Dash, and their blanket of clouds, and then imagining them above Ponyville. One thing she had not anticipated, however, was the lack of any particular landmark to focus on.
If she thought about any of the buildings, they'd all appear at ground level. She could hear Rainbow Dash's voice from a million miles away, asking if she was all right. She was vaguely aware of her own trembling body. The wings she was still getting used to were shot straight back, rigid as stone.
"It shouldn't be this hard,"
she yelled to herself, hearing her own voice as though it were underwater. Twilight Sparkle gasped, her eyes flying open and her body collapsing on the cloud.
"Twilight!"
Rainbow Dash rushed to her friend, grabbing her and gently laying her on her side.
"Oh gosh, are you okay? You know what? Forget it. Ponyville will just have to deal."
"It's okay, Dash," Twilight said as she stood up.
"Really, I'm fine. It was just a mental shock, that's all. But..."
She swatted at the cloud, frowning.
"I can't do it. There's just too many clouds here for me to move. Actually, it's not even the teleporting that's the problem."
"It's not?"
Rainbow Dash blinked, trying to make sense of everything.
You probably want to explain it to, you know, a non-unicorn. I thought teleporting was one of the hardest spells you guys could do."
"Oh, it is," Twilight said almost casually. "But there are two steps involved. The first step is to make a bubble around whatever it is you're moving. Like how I use my magic to levitate things? It's the same thing, but this time you're making an object disappear and reappear instantaneously. But it has to be in that bubble. In simple terms, I can't teleport all the clouds because I can't create a bubble large enough to hold them all."
"Oh, but what about just now, when you totally freaked out and got hurt?"
"I told you already, I'm not hurt. How to put it? Have you ever had a balloon popped in your face?"
"You mean when Pinkie Pie decides to be obnoxious?"
"Yeah."
"That's exactly what happened."
Twilight sat down, blowing out a short sigh. Rainbow Dash could see her breathing harder than usual.
"But now what do we do?" "Like I said, Ponyville would just have to deal with it. We can shake these clouds now and give Cloudsdale one hay of a snowfall. They almost never get to see one anyways."
"You're going to let it go just like that?"
"Hauling them would take forever, you know. Besides, they're just clouds, Twi. Hearthswarming isn't about weather. It's about me getting that awesome new Daring Do book where she finally goes up into Owie Zoto's personal lair and... I mean, it's about friends and family."
Dash offered a small chuckle that had not even a hint of amusement to Twilight's ears.
"Not to mention Applejack's awesome peppermint hot apple cider, right?"
There was more to it than that, Twilight knew. She could hear the disappointment in Rainbow Dash's voice, even if her words said otherwise. But she knew better than to push the issue.
"Right, Rainbow. Well then, what do you say we give Cloudsdale a snowfall?"
The six ponies sat around the main room of Twilight's library, each of them enjoying a mug of Sweet Apple Acres festive hot apple cider, and sharing the stories of their last-minute Hearthswarming's Day preparations.
"Well, don't you let it get you down, R.D.,"
Applejack said cheerily, finishing her mug in one final gulp.
"For once, I agree with Applejack,"
Rarity added, taking dainty sips of her own.
"Besides, you're not the only one who is unable to fulfill their Hearthswarming Eve obligations."
"What do you mean?"
Dash asked, her eyebrow raised with curiosity and suspicion.
"Well, as diligently as I worked the whole month, and even with Sweetie Belle's help, of course, I was still unable to make festive clothes for every single pony in Ponyville. On time, at least. By the day after tomorrow, all shall be wearing my glorious seasonal sweaters."
"And one of my poor birds got a sore throat and couldn't sing in the choir,"
Fluttershy said, putting forth her own lack of a true contribution to the town's midnight festival.
"Every pony still had a good time when the tree was lit."
"Yeah, I guess you're right."
Rainbow Dash finished her own cider and set the empty mug on the table.
"What about you, Pinky? Did you at least get to finish whatever it was you were doing? Pinkie Pie? Hello?"
But the pink mare merely stared out the window, the beginnings of a huge smile creeping on her face. The others turned to look, to see a heavy snowfall just outside.
"What the?
Is it?
Nah,"
Dash said immediately, shaking her head in amused disbelief.
"It's not Cloudsdale snow. But wow, how'd my team pull it off? It must have taken them literally all day." "Well, it looks quite good to me,"
Rarity said, staring out at a darkened Ponyville and watching as the snow began to blanket the ground.
"Darn right,"
Applejack agreed.
"It ain't gotta be that super fancy Cloudsdale stuff for all the fillies and colts to have fun in it anyways."
"I agree,"
Twilight said, moving away from the window and into her kitchen area.
Now then, who wants one more round of peppermint hot apple cider before we actually sleep at the slumber party?
Well, that's all for this year. It was a fantastic experience talking with everyone and getting to share stories and music. And honestly, there's nothing I'd rather be doing this time of year. I'd like to thank Cyril the Wolf, Decibel, Midnight Rain, Pony One Kenobi, Tech Disc, and Ultima for talking with me. I'd also like to thank Pinky Guy and Pony One Kenobi for use of their music. And now, I'd like to end with my own Christmas medley. I'm Forrest Rain. Merry Christmas.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. And have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we have gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Strains glow. gracias Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.